Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Acts. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
So as we pick it up in verse 19, we saw the significance. Don't call something common. God's wanting to reach all peoples. There's no people group that he doesn't want to interact. He's able to wash and cleanse the worst of the worst of the worst. That's his desire. So important that out of all the important things, this is recorded twice for us. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. This is the way it had started, remember? But some of the men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas as far as Antioch. So I figured, hey, Barnabas, you're willing to go. They send Barnabas out there. Dude, somebody's got to go check this out. That's modern terms. Somebody's got to go check this out and see what's going on in Antioch. What's happening out there? There's a lot of going on here. People are getting saved. God's doing a work out there. This is a far reaches from where Jerusalem is. Now remember, Jerusalem was initially kind of the headquarters or the sending. They were initially a sending unit. But now then this dispersion set in. And now God's doing this radical work in Antioch, and God's wanting to reach who? Just the Jewish culture? No. Don't you think the Jews got it a little mixed up initially? Because the Bible says, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, maybe chapter 7, and as you go through there, as you look, it talks about why God chose them. Not because you were a mighty nation, not because really you were one of the fewest of peoples. Not because you're the most powerful, because really you're nothing. It goes on, the list of what. But God says, but because I wanted to reveal who I am through you to all the nations around. And so they could see. And they would be drawn to. They would see my loving kindness. It's interesting. That group of people did the abominations of the Egyptians. That's mentioned in the scriptures, I believe in Isaiah, that the nation Israel did the abominations of the Egyptians. In other words, they fell into the same sin patterns and stuff. And yet God still loved them. God still wanted them to repent. God still wanted to do a work in and through them. That's God's people. We also are God's people. And sometimes we can think, well, you know, gosh, I can see why God would choose me, man. That's, you know, makes good sense. You know, I'm pretty motivated, and you know, you can go down your list of whatever your good thing qualities are. Some of us have shorter lists than others, but you know, the reality is that you can go down this list of why you think it was great and that God made a good decision hooking up with you and connecting up, and that was pretty wise and all this, and that's why you're here and all whatever. God says, no. It's just because I wanted to reveal who I was to a bunch of other messed up people around you. No way. That's really true. God wants to reveal who he is. We just lose sight of that. You've got this terrific, wonderful, awesome treasure within you that God wants to just have you just expose to people around you. You forget. I forget. We forget so easily that the most husky of fellas and the most athletic of men could cry themselves to sleep. Most beautiful of women can cry themselves to sleep because of their emptiness. And everything in between, all of that, can just, it's all the same. We talked about that at the very beginning, our need, our sense of belonging, and to be loved. to know and to be known. That's obviously, that's God's desire. He wanted to reveal himself through a people that knew him. That's you. To a world that doesn't know him, but needs him. We just kind of get caught up in the Christian thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you guys with me? You get caught up in the Christian thing, or am I by myself? And I just want to make sure. It's easy. You just kind of get caught up in a Christian thing. And that's good. We want to be in the Christian thing. But what is the Christian thing? Let's find out. We got to read on. Let's find out. It's going to unfold for us right now. So these people are starting to get saved in Antioch. This is all starting to happen. The news travels to Jerusalem. They send out Barnabas as far as even out into the outer far reaches of no man's land, Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad. You remember Barnabas' name, son of encouragement or son of consolation. He's just the bro, you know? He's just that guy that just, yeah, it's going to be all right. Just hang in there. He's the guy that's just right there with you. No, we just got to keep plugging along. It's going to be okay. And this is great. This is great stuff. And he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, that they should put their mind to it and work really, really, really hard at it. Is that what it says? Ah, this right here, the heart, the core of the being, the thing that really, really sets the pace for your life. If, you know, brothers, sisters, if your heart's not in it, you've already left. If your heart's not in your marriage, if your heart's not for your kids, if your heart's not for the fellowship, if your heart's not for the Lord, you've already left the building with Elvis. Gone. You've already left. Your heart's got to be in it. When your heart's in it, it takes on a different vibe, doesn't it? He still brings me flowers. She still sticks notes in my sandwich. How many even get a sandwich once in a while? I'm starting to think, how many times? Nobody carries a sack lunch anymore. This stuff starts dating you after a while, doesn't it? I'll get new material. That's why I'm traveling to a foreign country. I'll get new. He encouraged them, and that with all purpose, with the purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So continue with the Lord with purpose of heart. Man, I want to follow Jesus. As you wake up this morning, man, I want to follow Jesus. I want to hear. I want to gather with my brothers and sisters. I want to worship the one true living God with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to co-labor, lock arms with them, and serve the Lord together. And I want to hear, what does God have to say to me? Obviously, this guy's not the most articulate of people, but he's able to communicate bits and pieces of the gospel. And I want to hear what God has to say to me today. What does God have to say to me? What does God want me to know today? Because my heart's in it. And then I want to grow. My heart's in it. Man, when your heart checks out, boy, we got trouble. You've got trouble. You need to keep your heart in it. Stay with it. How do I do that? Prayer, fellowship, the Word of God, communion. Where's your treasure tucked away at, brothers and sisters? Where's your treasure tucked away at? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are you tucking away treasure? See, when we pray, we're storing it up there. It's in the realm of the Spirit. We're putting something up there. That's why, as part of our worship, we want to receive the tithes and offerings. People want to give unto the Lord and to his purposes, his plans. And this is why. We need to be separate. God doesn't need our money. But we need to separate ourselves from our own selfishness. We need to separate ourselves from that and give unto the Lord. We're going to see a little bit more about that too. Let's keep going. So far we've seen, what do we see? Preaching. Preaching to the non-believer in verse 19, right? So far, we've seen preaching to the non-believer. Then we see Barnabas, man. Brother Barney shows up on the scene. He's so cool. He just shows up, and he just encourages him. He says, man, stay with it. Keep your heart in it. Keep pushing forward. Hang in there with God. We need that, don't we? We need that encouragement in the Lord. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the church. Both seem to be effective for the building up of the work of God, right? What do we know that we're supposed to be? We've been placed in the kingdom. We're locked in with the Lord. And what do? We got involved in Dad's business. What's Dad's business? He's a kingdom builder. Dad's a builder, builds king the kingdom. And what did we join up? We're a part of that team. That's what we got adopted as adult level kids. We got placed in as adults in the family business. Doesn't matter how old you are, you got placed in the family business as an adult. And we just get to work. Well, I haven't been at it. I've checked out for a while. My heart hasn't been in. Jump back on. Lord wants to put you right back into work. He wants to get you right back on the team. Family business. Whose kingdom you working on? Whose kingdom? His kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's not your personal kingdom. Isn't that empty? Jesus talked about that guy. Man, God's just blessing. I got all this abundance. I got so much, I'm going to have to build a bigger barn. Goes out and builds a bigger barn, stores all his stuff, and dies. Great. Neat story, huh? That's the end of it. That's all there is. There's nothing more for the guy. That was it. He says, man, that's not what we're supposed to be about. We're kingdom builders. And so we're putting treasure where? In an eternal account. And that's where our heart is. Our heart's following now. We're thinking, that's how my heart's in it. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about the things. I'm praying for that person. I'm thinking about that person that I work with and I'm near. My neighbor, I'm praying for them. My head's in the game eternally. When I see them, I'm thinking about the eternal perspective. What's going on with them? Not that they let their dog come out in the lawn, you know? We're not thinking about that anymore. I'm thinking, I got to get past that part, and I got to look at them and be concerned about them in the kingdom. You see, it's just simple little things like that, because now my heart's in it. Not whether she did or didn't do this, or she burnt my toast, or I don't like this, or this isn't right, or he doesn't, and I don't, blah, blah, all the arguments and everything. Get your heart in it. If your heart's not in it, it's down the toilet. It's as good as done. Your marriage is done. Your relationship with the Lord's just going to be mediocre at best. It's just nothing. But man, when your heart's in it, it takes on a different vibe, doesn't it? Just a different meaning, a different significance. Man, we set up, we tear down, we every week, twice a week, we set up, we tear down, and we do it with joy. Because we know what this is for, what this is about, that it's going to bless the Lord's heart because it blesses the body of Christ. It's with joy we serve. Isn't that exciting? That's so awesome. God is so faithful. Barnabas, he's just there, just going, yeah, just stay in the game, man. And so he shares these things. And then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. That seek, circle it, highlight. Come on, you got to have a pen. I hope you brought a Bible. You need them. You need your Bibles, okay? You need your Bibles, you need a pen, you need something, you got to write, you got to circle. I use multicolored. I would encourage the same, but do what you like. Circle, seek. This is the only, there's two times that Luke uses this. Two times that he uses that word seek. Once in his gospel, when he's talking about Jesus' mom and dad. Frantic, Joseph and Mary. We've lost the Son of God. You know, okay? They don't know that at the time, but Mary does. But well, I guess Joseph does. But they're freaked out. We lost God's kid, you know. Can you imagine, though? They're frantically, they've gone out, and now they're wandering down. They're with the caravan, just cruising along. And oh, where's little Jesus? You know, I thought he was with you. Well, I thought he was with you. You know, that story, huh? We've all been to the mall. I thought he was, you know, that kind of thing. No, he's still playing with the cars. They go back, frantically searching, seeking him out. They want to find him, desperate to find him. That's how they're looking for him. This is only the second time that word's used. So two times you use it, and this is the second time right here. Barnabas, like a frantic parent, wanting to find Saul, ultimately Paul, wanting to find him, needing to make this connection. Isn't that cool? He's looking for him, but he's not looking for him aimlessly or empty. He made a connection. He made a connection while he's hanging out at Antioch. Man, the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, and I can see, man, this is something that I could really see Saul, Paul, really excelling in. I can, his gifts are there for this. This group needs his kind of ministry, man. I've got to find him. So he goes seeking him. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. He didn't make haste. He brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So we had verse 20, verse 23, and here verse 26. First, we had the preaching. Non-believer needs to hear the gospel. That's a preaching thing. We're proclaiming, publicly proclaiming, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. We had Barnabas comes in there, and the preaching was adding to the church, right? Then we got Barnabas. He comes alongside. Yeah, man, you got to just hang in there. Stay with it. And Barnabas is just the bro. He comes in there encouraging them, and yeah, the God's adding to the church. And then, man, we got Saul, Paul the Apostle, you know, and he's there teaching them. Wanting to minister, we need all of this. We need all three activated in the body of Christ. Sometimes we get all three in one shot, you know, it just depends. But there is that gifting and that calling that's there. I want to encourage you with something. We're going to talk about where they're first called Christians in Antioch in just a second. But before we get to that, there's something that's very important to note. I think it's very important that you look for, because Barnabas is absolutely the excellence of a discipler. He excels at this. He just kind of sees something, he matches it up, and then he kind of helps get it along, keeps help getting it along. This is what I would like you to do. As you pray, as you're in your quiet time, as you're contemplating the things of the Lord, think about who the Lord has called you to come alongside and be a Barnabas to. And pray, Lord, help me to see those who are around me that are Barnabases. Because we need one. Listen to me, this is real important. We need one, a Barnabas, in our life. We need one, at least one. I usually have several because I'm one of those types that needs several. It's just that, go this way. Okay, we'll go this way. Keep going. I just need several to keep me going the right direction. But we need one, right? And then you need to be one. Need one and need to be one. Just think of it in those terms. I need to know that I've got Barnabases in my life. Those people that encourage, that help me go in the right direction with the Lord. Encourage me, exhort me to stay with it. Match me up with where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And then we need to be one. So that I'm looking for those people that maybe I'm supposed to help match up and point in the right direction and help them out a little bit in the Lord. And this isn't some weird shepherding doctrine where you're going to tell them who they're supposed to marry and you're going to collect their tithe from them or any of that, okay? Just, that's Japanese for no, do not enter. Don't go that route, okay? All you want to do is be one to somebody. And you want to let someone be one to you, listen for that. I listen for the voice of the Lord in those matters. If you resist those that would be that to you, I think you miss a huge blessing. And you miss the encouragement that can be yours in the Lord. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Antioch, just like the kind of place I described for you, there was a goddess there. And it was the same kind of thing, temple worship, and the same kind of stuff was going on there as like Ephesus. It was the same kind of, all those cultures, they just all had, that's what they had going on. And so it was a wicked, wicked place in that sense. And yet this is the first place that they were called Christian. Jesus didn't name us Christians. You know, that's not the way it worked. You know who called them that? The people of Antioch. Literally, it means Jesus people or Jesus folks. That's literally what it means. Odd as that may be, but that is what it means. Like the family of Jesus or Jesus' family, Jesus folks. That's what it means. Or Christ-like or little Christs, as some refer to it, also is accurate. But just kind of Jesus' family. They're the people like Jesus, you know. What a great thing for the world to coin. Now it's pretty much, it's this church over here, it's that church over there, and there you don't talk. You know, it's that kind of thing. That's more the way it's not. Man, I want to refer to as Christian. That's my preference. I belong to Jesus, servant of the Most High God. That's the best thing to be referred to. He's Jesus folk, kinfolk to Jesus. I like that. That's representative. And the world called him that. I think sometimes maybe the world calls us, well, they're just like us. And in certain ways that may be true, but hopefully there's a distinction because you've been born again and because they can see the love and the forgiveness and that goodness and grace of God activated in your life. Isn't that what we want them to see? And they will call us Christians. You know, these guys were out there. They were out in the mix, and people saw them and saw them as that. Think about that. Where does the light shine best? In a bright spot? No. We want to encourage one another. We want to be lights to one another. Yeah, that's all neat, but we need to be lights outside the walls here because that's where there's the desperate need to be able to see. They could see Jesus for who he is. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his own ability, decided to hunker down, get guns, store rations, hide in caves. That's not what your Bible says, is it? But that's the natural tendency, isn't it? Don't you remember back to Y2K? Man, I was getting newsletters from all these Christian groups. You know, just freak. Listen, maybe you were part of that. I don't know. I love you. It's all okay. But this is the kind of thing that just, it's like, I'm not even sure if I might have gotten one extra jug of water. I don't really remember. And if it gets that bad, I'm just going to be running around, turn to Jesus, you know. I'm just going to be running around just until I get shot, you know, and then it's done anyway. Because these guys are looking down the barrel of demise, you know, total famine, all this stuff, and they go into not hoard and hang on to, they go into, hey, let's get some more and distribute it. Let's share. I love that. Don't you love that? And what is this? This is like the picture on the box when you bought the model, right? It's supposed to look like this when you're done. That's a picture, a word picture for us. It's supposed to look like that when it's done. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening to the message today. You know, I was thinking about Jesus being that good shepherd. And he said, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. You know, and we just kind of think of that as a door that on hinges that opens and shuts. But really, at that time period, the shepherd was the door himself. He would lay across the opening. And the sheep would have to kind of cross over him and get through him to get in and out of the sheepfold. And he said, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, Jesus was never just a hireling for you or for me. Jesus loves you with a perfect love. He gave his life for you on the cross. He wants to give you life abundant, as spoken of in the scripture here. He is the access into everlasting life. Maybe you've been distant from the Lord. You tuned in and you've gone to church before. You've opened your life at one point, but now you're just living out in the world and away from God, and you're feeling the hurt and the shame and the conviction of the sin. Well, Jesus wants to forgive you again in a fresh new way. He wants you to get started on that journey again. And maybe you're hearing this simple gospel message for the first time, and you want to give your life to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you, and God wants to give you a chance. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin.
I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to thank you for the free gift of everlasting life that you've given me now. And I thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, all your grace. And I just ask, Lord, that you would flood my heart with your Holy Spirit now, that my life might bring you honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus,